The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
This is Radio City Talk.
Right, let's have a go at On This Week in History. We're doing it from the Liverpool perspective with Jed Ray, Liverpool statistician, and there's loads to reflect on between the 23rd and the 26th of January in years gone by. Morning to you, Jed.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Great, thank you. Let's start off with the main man himself and the birth of Bob.
Well, what can we say that can do justice to this man? Born on the 23rd of January 1919, up in the northeast, played amateur football for Bishop Auckland, won the FA Amateur Cup with them in 1939. Then he signs for Liverpool, and then war breaks out. So he's got to wait 6 years, more than 6 years, to make his debut. He's then part of the title-winning team in 46-47. He scores in the 1950 FA Cup semi-final win over Everton, only to find he's left out of the team for the final, and he almost contemplates quitting football. Then he retires. He becomes a coach in 1954. He works his way up from the reserves, physio, first-team coach, Bill Shankly's sidekick, before eventually taking over the reins himself in 1974. Wasn't his record as a manager formidable? 6 titles in 9 years. The first manager, and up until 2018, the only man ever to lead his team to 3 European Cup wins, 3 League Cups, 1 UEFA Cup, 6 Manager of the Year awards. Became renowned for diagnosing players' injuries just from watching on television. Very rarely got it wrong in that respect. And a very shy man who didn't like dealing with the media. He didn't even want the Liverpool job. He only took it after great persuasion because he feared for the future of his coaching staff if somebody from outside came in and began to dismantle the boot room. He signed arguably the best player in the club's history. And one of his greatest achievements was converting Ray Kennedy from a centre forward into one of Europe's most feared midfield players. A man who was respected by his peers, loved by the cop, arguably, some would say, the greatest manager of all time.
You see, it's easy to say he just took the baton from Bill, but actually the first year he took over, they didn't win anything, did they?
They didn't win anything in 74-75, and I'm sure there were people on the terraces who were beginning to doubt whether he was up to it. But the great thing about Bob was his humility, really. He walked down like everybody's favourite uncle. He walked, prowled through the corridors of Anfield in his cardigan and his slippers. He always battered publicity away. He said that he only put the roof on the house. It was Shanks that laid the foundation. And Liverpool Football Club were very, very lucky to have him.
And the cries for a posthumous sir will continue on and on and on, as they should well do, shouldn't they?
They will, absolutely.
So let's go from Bob Paisley to a man who wasn't quite held in the same regard, but he had his moments. Unfortunately, he's left with one main legacy, and this is Ronnie Rosenthal.
Yeah, his fleeting Liverpool career. He left Liverpool on the 26th of January 1994, 4 years after joining from FC Bruges, after starting his career in Israel with Maccabi Haifa. And in those days, of course, before the internet and before European football was shown in all its glory, a lot of people would have said, Ronnie who? But he was arguably the catalyst for Liverpool's 1990 league title win, scoring 7 goals in 8 league games, left-footed, quick, inconsistent, erratic, sometimes brilliant, could be a joy to play with, an absolute frustration. He probably didn't even know what he was doing himself half the time on the pitch. He scored a hat-trick on his full debut at Charlton just 3 days after Liverpool had lost that infamous semi-final to Crystal Palace. Liverpool won 5 and drew 2 of their remaining 7 league games that season. Liverpool then made his loan deal permanent that summer, but he only scored 5 goals in 23 games the following season, though 12 of his 16 appearances in the First Division came as a substitute. And then, of course, you said it in the intro, he's arguably synonymous with 2 things more than any other. The first one, the one he would like to be remembered for, was scoring his last-minute derby winner in front of the cop.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was the miss at Villa Park. An open goal from 10 yards when he somehow managed to hit the bar after rounding the goalkeeper. And then he left for Tottenham, where, again, he performed some goal-scoring feats, but and then on to Watford. But he was never really around anywhere in England to really make a place in the first team his own. And then he became an agent after that. But I don't think anybody will forget the contribution he made in that short period of time.
No, and perhaps it is a little bit of a shame that people often go to the miss straight away, which, as you say, was at Villa Park 1992 at the Holt End. It just sometimes defines people, those sort of moments, although this is maybe a little bit cruel in its definition because, as you quite rightly characterise that, he did a lot of great things.
He did, and, you know, to come in and, you know, you could argue Liverpool may well have won the league that season anyway, who knows, but he certainly gave Liverpool an added impetus and a fresh dimension that other teams couldn't cater for. They'd never heard of him, you know, and his performances were excellent, particularly as a substitute when he gave that freshness and that impetus and seemed to drag Liverpool through the last 15 or 20 minutes of games.
Let's go from there to 2001, 24th of January, and a cup semi-final.
Yeah, the League Cup. Liverpool against Crystal Palace. Just as a backdrop to that second leg tie at Anfield, Liverpool had lost the first leg of the semi-final at Palace 2-1 a couple of weeks earlier, a game that saw Yari Litmanen make his Liverpool debut. Liverpool could have put the tie to bed on that night, but they, and Michael Owen in particular, were very wasteful in front of goal, particularly in the first half. And Palace's young centre-forward by the name of Clinton Morrison insisted to national media that he would have scored two of the opportunities Owen missed. Well, that proved to be his and his team's downfall, I think. He was made to pay in the return, spending most of the night staring at his own goal. Though in a rare foray forward, he actually miskicked in front of goal, much to the delight of the cop, who then began to sing Clinton, watch the score as goal after goal went in. Michael Owen, ironically, wasn't fit for that second leg, but he wasn't needed. Liverpool won 5-0. Danny Murphy scored a couple. Vladimir Smica, Igor Biskan scored his first Liverpool goal, and Robbie Fowler were on target. Palace even had to play the last 8 minutes of the game without a goalkeeper who was sent off. It put Liverpool through to their first final under Houllier. And in that remarkable treble-winning season, that was obviously the catalyst, that first trophy. You speak to the players of the day, they said the first trophy was the most difficult one. Once they'd got that one under their belt, they felt that they could go and win the other two, which invariably they did, and clinch a Champions League place on the final day at Charlton.
Fab memories. Three different things there on This Week in History. The birth of Bob Paisley, Ronnie Rosenthal leaving Liverpool, and Liverpool against Palace in the League Cup semi-final second leg. Jed, thank you.
My pleasure.
More from Jed to come next week.
This is The Kickoff
with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.